Hello, and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU provides each of our listeners with current information on a wide variety of topics related to health, athletic performance, fitness, and nutrition. On Track 1, Corey will provide his commentary adapted from the Certified Sports Nutrition Advisor Education Program, current research data, and his clinical experience. On Track 2, he will be joined by Tracy Hawley on He Said, She Said, for her female focus on topics related to whole food, health, relationships, and raising healthy children. Track 3 features an interview with our special guest, who will share their expertise and experience in the healthcare, fitness, and sports nutrition field. Here is Corey Hawley and this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, Volume 11, Number 3. In the last edition of Clinical Review, my topic was PSN number 12, muscle. Number 12 in our ongoing series of principles of sports nutrition. Muscle is the health engine of the body. It allows us to perform and function in countless ways. Without muscle, none of us could move, train, exercise, or compete in sport. So it's pretty important stuff. When a skeletal muscle fiber contracts, it either contracts 100% or not at all. This is known as the all-or-nothing principle. It's either full-on or full-off, no in-between or half-ass effort, all-or-nothing, just like what's required to excel in competitive sport and business. First, you make a decision to participate or not, but once you're committed, there's no turning back or you'll turn to salt. You have to determine in advance exactly what's required to achieve the objective you have in mind. This is a life principle, so it applies to pretty much anything, including sport, working out, school, marriage, training for a competition, whatever. You have to know what you want, and once this is crystal clear, you then go after it like a hungry badger digging down into the ground after its prey. From start to finish, it's all about you. The entire process is driven, maintained, and sustained by your own energy and effort. There is no one to blame for failure, and all the credit goes to you for what you achieve. Just like a chin-up or a power clean, you did it. You did the work, and you didn't give up when things got tough. This is how we build self-esteem and confidence, one layer at a time. On this edition of Clinical Review, we'll continue with the next PSN principle in the series, which is PSN number 13, cardiovascular health. Cardio refers to the heart, and vascular refers to the blood vessels, otherwise known as our pipelines or vascular tree. The optimal function and health of the heart is critical to the enjoyment of sport and athletics. Obviously, athletic records depend on it, as does growth and the process of regeneration. Life is in the blood. We've all heard that. Like the core of the earth, the heart is the center of the cardiovascular system. It nourishes every cell with the contents of the blood. That's what the cardiovascular system does. It pumps the good stuff out to trillions of cells and removes the waste. It provides us with life-sustaining oxygen bound to hemoglobin, as well as all of the micronutrients required for functional cellular activity. The heart muscle itself is a hollow organ formed of three layers. The outside or first layer is called the epicardium. The middle and thickest layer is known as the myocardium, which makes up the bulk of the heart and is responsible for its pumping action. The innermost or third layer is called the endocardium. So there are three basic layers and many diseases that relate to each specific layer, and these diseases are generally degenerative diseases, all linked either directly or indirectly to a lack of fitness and poor diet. Now, the heart is a pump. It's a muscular pump and drives about 5 liters of blood every minute through the lungs and the vascular tree. The heart consists of two sides separated by a partition called the septum. Each side of the heart has two chambers known as the left and right atrium and the left and right ventricle. The heart is about the same size as a man's fist and weighs anywhere from 250 to 300 grams depending on your gender and physical condition. Although it represents less than 1% of our total body weight, it uses about 5% of the total blood supply. It's very important that high-quality blood nourishes the heart. Poor quality blood is a primary cause of cardiac-related disease and cardiac events. If the blood isn't good, the heart itself will fail, and of course, damaged arteries and any blockages prevent sufficient oxygen from reaching the heart to the point of severe damage and even death. There's certainly a connection between the heart and the muscular system and all systems, actually, and this is an important point, that everything's connected. Systems biology. Remember that term. When someone has a health problem, say with their liver or their heart or brain, we should always think holistic. Think whole body. Conventional medicine doesn't think this way. They like to isolate everything, reduce and mechanize, then pull out their microscopes and perform tests. Tests and more tests. And still more tests. They tend to think or focus on only one part of the entire human, of course, the part that's damaged. What I love about integrative natural medicine is that it's just as technical and scientifically sound as allopathic medicine, but it's far more expansive and holistic. It considers the whole person, including even their emotions. Fancy that. The beauty of functional medicine is that it teaches you to think about function and why things aren't working. It encourages you to get involved in your own process. Holistic medicine and functional medicine are one in the same thing. Both address cause, not just effect. Both acknowledge the necessity of personal accountability. Now, inside the heart, there are special valves, and they control the flow of blood through the chambers of the heart and prevent its backflow. They're called the atrioventricular, or AV valves. There are other valves, too, such as the mitral valves, the aortic valves, the semilunar, or SL valves. And all of these valves are susceptible to diseases and degeneration caused by uncontrolled free radical pathology. Enter things like coenzyme Q10, hawthorn berries, magnesium, and vitamin E for protection against the free radicals. Antioxidant therapy. The beat of the heart is generated by specialized neuromuscular tissue located in the heart itself, and all the events associated with each beat are referred to as the cardiac cycle. The heart, which is classified as cardiac tissue, is actually composed of two primary types of cells: striated muscle cells that specialize in contraction, and neuromuscular cells responsible for the initiation and conduction of the electrical impulses that cause the heart to contract. A medical instrument called an electrocardiograph is used to measure the transmission of cardiac impulses induced by the heart, and it records what is called an electrocardiogram, or ECG. An ECG is used to measure the rate and regularity of heartbeats, as well as the size and position of the chambers, the presence of any damage to the heart, and the effects of drugs or devices used to regulate the heart. This device can be used to see what effect physical activity has on the heart. A cardiac stress test, or cardiac diagnostic test, is a test used in medicine and cardiology to measure the heart's ability to respond to external stress in a controlled clinical environment. It's a relatively simple test that can save a lot of lives, and it should be mandatory. Every time we have a physical exam, we should have a complete fitness exam or assessment, which should include a cardiac stress test. How hip would that be? This procedure would save a lot of lives and would help identify problems with the heart and arteries long before they got out of control or beyond the point of no return. A stress test that combines the ECG with some type of aerobic exercise using a treadmill or bicycle can be used to detect changes associated with occlusion or blockage of the coronary arteries, otherwise undetectable when a person is at rest. So this is where the fitness comes in, not only as a means of measuring health, but also as a means of creating and sustaining it. You can't do that with drugs. Knowledge of damage or impairment gained early on should ideally motivate people to make whatever changes in diet, lifestyle, and exercise are necessary. This is what preventive functional medicine is all about. Another thing that's important to mention is HRV, or heart rate variability. HRV is characterized by the way the heart responds to the influence of sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system activity. And here again, we're reminded of body typing because there's a dominance of one over the other. For example, I have a parasympathetic dominant autonomic nervous system as opposed to a sympathetic dominated autonomic nervous system. There's a lot of really interesting data that relates to HRV and the domination of our autonomic nervous systems. HRV can be measured medically by measuring the distance between R waves using an ECG reading, but there's a more practical method for measuring HRV yourself. Just subtract your resting heart rate from your maximum heart rate. The greater the distance between the two numbers, the greater the HRV, and a high HRV is exactly what you want. You want a high HRV. You want a maximum heart rate that's high and a low resting heart rate to get that. Say a maximum heart rate of 200 and a resting heart rate of 40 compared to 160 and 80. The difference between 200 and 40 is 160 points. The difference between 160 and 80 is 80 points. So there's a big difference. Do you see that? Now, typically what happens as we age is that there's a gradual diminishment or reduction of HRV, and that ain't good. As we lose our cardiovascular health and ability to utilize oxygen efficiently, risk of diseases like cancer and diabetes increase, not just cardiac disease, all disease. Older folks, and especially those who are not fit and out of shape, tend to have a high resting heart rate and a reduced or low maximum heart rate. This isn't good, and here again is a stiff reminder as to why we need to train for life. We train to keep the heart strong, to keep our maximum heart rate up, and ultimately this provides a more efficient use of oxygen. Resting heart rate or pulse rate is best measured early in the morning before you get out of bed. It should be less than 60 or lower. Mine, for example, is 46 at age 55. My maximum heart rate was 196 the last time I checked. If you have a high resting pulse rate during rest, you're definitely heading in the wrong direction, and it's time to take an account. Time to make some adjustments. Cause and effect, reason and logic. Just think about it. A low HRV is a strong independent risk factor for death from all causes. That means all you have to do is find out what the HRV is for someone, and that one biomarker is going to tell you a lot. It's going to predict their risk of all-cause mortality better than any other single biomarker. So the goal then is to set someone up on a balanced cardiovascular training routine, combined, of course, with stretching and weight training. And the cardiovascular training is going to elevate their maximum heart rate and keep it up. Teach people how to measure their resting pulse rate throughout the day, so when they go through periods of stress and anxiety and change, which we all do, they can use their own body as a form of biofeedback technology to bring attention to certain risk factors. So your body becomes the instrument of detection. It becomes the device. This is why interval training has such great value. You basically warm up and then you go hard and maintain the intensity for a short burst for a short period of time. This form of training elevates your heart rate much higher compared to low-intensity treadmill walking or jogging. We know interval training is the most effective way to generate aerobic value. This is the connection with intensity. Controlled intensity is one of the greatest safeguards in exercise therapy. In Dr. Pauling's classic book, How to Live Longer and Feel Better, he mentions the Hammond study way back in the 60s, which proved that people who trained the hardest and the most often lived the longest and had the least incidence of disease pathology. What's very cool is that interval training mimics the behavior of our hunting-gathering ancestors, and it does it better than the more common continuous aerobic exercise that maintains a constant pace for 20 to 40 to 60 minutes. Interval training is short and sweet. It uses the fast-twitch muscle fibers that low-intensity, long-distance running does not. So you're like a sprinter, like out of a gun, a bullet. It's just about speed. And when you launch yourself like that, it's amazing what value you can gain. Fast-twitch fibers, by the way, are also the first to atrophy or shrink as we age, especially without fitness. With short, intense anaerobic sprints, you get a nice growth hormone release and an overall better effect on testosterone and insulin chemistry. There are lots of well-documented health benefits associated with controlled interval training. So let's remind people of the actual state our nation and our world is in. The so-called first world or civilized countries are in dire straits, no doubt. We're definitely not in good shape. Lots of excess, as in a massive amount of disease, most of which is preventable and all of which is costing us huge amounts of time, energy, money, and increases everyone's suffering. Now take a look online at the leading causes of death right now in Canada or the U.S. Number one is cardiovascular disease, followed by cancer, chronic lower respiratory disease, diabetes, influenza, pneumonia, Alzheimer's, motor vehicle accidents, renal failure, septicemia, and finally, firearms. So there it is, right at the top, cardiovascular disease, staring us right in the face. What kills more people than any other single cause is damage to the heart and things like stroke, vascular disease, and cardiac events. So we have a real problem. The facts on paper spell it out. The masses have to get this message through their thick skulls, and we all do for that matter, that controlled exercise combined with optimum nutrition is the leading therapy of the modern age, and there is no alternative. Exercise is not an option. Take a look at the average health of the average individual. Look at the numbers. Look at the causes of death. Measure the absence of function in people. Look at the meds they're taking, the absence of exercise, and the amount of junk food they're consuming. It's all right there. And what gets my goat is that the educators and so-called health professionals and teachers and conventional thinkers out there, they're all still trying to figure out this out when it's just so obvious what needs to be done. At least it is to me. The cardiovascular system, by its very nature and design, needs to be worked hard and smart, just like muscle. In fact, the heart is a muscle. So pump up the volume. It's all part of a fantastic whole, a system's biology, a web of life. Well, that's it for this segment of SNU. Thanks for listening. And here's a quote from the 14th Dalai Lama, who also won the Nobel Peace Prize in 1989. This is my simple religion. There is no need for temples, no need for complicated philosophy. Our own brain, our own heart is our temple. The philosophy is kindness.